Recording has started. Please proceed.
Great. Thank you very much. Welcome everyone to this CCWG on enhancing accountability call number 38 on 30 June of 2015. Matthew McWhale will be joining us in just 5 or 10 minutes at the most. He's already in the phone, which as far as I can tell. Thomas Ritter is on leave. He has apologized for not attending this call. And my name is Leon Sanchez. I will begin this call. And as usual, we will be doing the roll call based on the Adobe Connect attendance. And also, if we have someone that is on the phone bridge at this stage that is not already connected to the Adobe Connect room, could you please state your name so we can add your name to the roll call?
Leon, this is Rulof Meyer. I'm joining through telephone line.
Alex Munya also joining through telephone.
Thank you very much, Rulof. I'm sorry, who was the last one person?
Alex Munya also joining through telephone.
Excellent. Staff, please do note that Rulof Meyer is joining us through the phone bridge, and Alex Munya as well. So with that, a reminder on statement of interest. If there's anyone who hasn't filled in their statement of interest so far, please do so. As usual, if you have any problems or you haven't created a wiki account or user, staff will be glad to assist you on doing that. And before we begin, I see that Cavus has contributed a series of comments on the chat box, and he has his hands raised. So Cavus, could you please take the floor, and I will kindly ask you to give it short since we have very little time for this call.
Please be kindly mindful that we have little time. We do not want to review the SOAC model, membership model, and SOAC designator model. We know that since 2 months, there has been hundreds of pages of explanations, and I don't understand what does it mean that the lawyers review on what that. We have to look what was the difficulty we encountered in Buenos Aires. The difficulty was membership. People did not agree with that, most of the people, and except few ones, so we have to see what we can do. So please kindly, if they want to review, it should not be more than 10 days. 10 minutes, sorry. Not more than 10 minutes. We know what is the problem, so we have to go to the problem. I have provided the agenda a compromise version, and I have given you the situations, and we have to find out something which is workable. We have less than 2 weeks to do something, and we don't want to review. So please kindly consider maximum 10 minutes and give us the problem of the membership. Thank you. Taking out the uncooperative association now, what are the other problems? And I have put in the chat already several other problems that we have. Thank you.
Thank you, Cabus. As I said on the chat box, we are not reviewing the models in this call. It is only a follow-up to the action items that we had in our list from Buenos Aires. So it's just a reference to the work that's being done and that should be done before our Paris meeting. So you can see it in the agenda, but it's not happening this call. I hope this is clear enough and that we can proceed and continue with our call. So in review of the action items from Buenos Aires and going to agenda item number 2, we have tasked the lawyers, the outside counsel, with a review of the different SOAC membership model and the empowered SOAC designated model in order to inform us for our discussion in Paris. So as I said earlier, lawyers are looking into this. We are not discussing that on this call. It's just to let you know that this is happening and that we will be having a thorough discussion in Paris so we can flesh out details as suggested by Caboose in different aspects such as the IRP and the many implications of which the different models might have depending on which model we choose to go as a group. So second action item is to take into account the drastic constraints and timeline and the requirements for minimal changes. A work party will be constituted to address the emerging issues outlined in the discussion starter papers. So I believe that the email that was sent to you previous to our call, there was working party three, a working party three draft document, and I believe that we already have some volunteers in place to form this working party three. For starters, I, as co-chair, would be volunteering, of course, to take part of this working party. And I remember I had some comments from Alan Greenberg as to volunteering for this working party as well. So I would like to... of course, call for volunteers to form this working party, and we can proceed to continue. We have also the action item on the rapporteurs to organize work on their working parties, and of course, the issues that need further discussion and that are not dependent to the model discussion. This means that we are looking, of course, to those areas in which we are not dependent of any model that we choose to go with and that can proceed so we can, of course, advance on the work that needs to be done regardless of the model we choose to go. I believe that Caboose is asking what are the emerging issues. We do have some emerging issues. It's in the mail that we sent previous to the call. You can see it in the documents that were attached. There was a list of emerging issues, and we would kindly ask you to review those emerging issues. Also, I remember that Matthew circulated a couple of started papers for discussion on these emerging issues, so I would kindly suggest that you take a look at these documents. And we also have the co-chairs to coordinate with ICG and CWG to prepare a reply to the NTIA letter. We will be addressing these in any other business. We do have a draft already. We discussed with the group in our last meeting in Buenos Aires. We asked you for discretion, and you kindly gave us that discretion to draft this letter. So we have drafted a letter, and we will be sharing it with you as a draft, so we can have a look at what we've come up to as I reply to the NTIA letter. Then the bylaw drafting process, we need to discuss this on the list and consider the next steps before our CCWG meeting in Paris. There has also been a flowchart that has been distributed previous to our call. You can see it as an attachment to the email that was sent earlier today. It is a flowchart prepared by Matthew, and it has a seven-step process, which we would be willing to shorten, but for that we would need to come back to you and, of course, have a consensus on whether we can, in fact, shorten this process, and we will discuss in detail in a moment. And then we have the working parties to make assure all comments in the public comment tool have responses for publication no later than the day we publish our public comment too, and also the rapporteurs to coordinate work in their respective working parties. So with this, I'd like to open the floor. I see Caboose hand is up again. Caboose, is that an old hand or a new hand?
It is a new number, a new hand. Please, bylaw, which bylaw? We don't have agreed. We have not agreed yet on any model. We have not agreed on the IRP. Still, we start to have bylaw items. First, we have to decide where we are. Starting the bylaw, the long list that Matthew provided, 3 pages, that this is not a converting issue. It just short the shopping list. What are the difficulties? I mentioned that the difficulties is as following. First, we have to see ways and means how to comply with the accountability requirement of CWG. This is the first item. We don't go to the bylaw. How we could achieve that? This is essential for our work. Ways and means to meet the requirement of accountability as contained in CWG report, which has now sent to the ICG. We have to take it from this point before writing the long list. And we don't want that any chairman working party starts to have an agenda for us for something that we don't agree. Sir, please kindly consider the only item of top priority is what are the accountability requirements of CWDG, how we could achieve that. This is the first item. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose, and I couldn't agree more with you. We need to discuss where we are in order to decide where we want to go, and this is just planning ahead. The documents that you have attached to the email that was sent previously to our call is only planning ahead. We don't want to get to Paris and not have a plan. So all you see in the attachments is, of course, as I said, planning ahead so we can have the best use of everyone's time in our Paris meeting. So if we do want to see where we are at and where we want to go, I could ask staff to please display the scorecard that was attached also to the email that was sent earlier previous to our call. And now you can see the scorecard we have on screen. And this refers to, of course, different issues that we have assessed.
Leon, this is Rulof. Can you put me in the queue, please?
Yes, Rulof. You are next, Rulof. If you want to, say something, please do.
Okay, thank you, Leon. This is Rulof Meijer for the record. Maybe I misunderstood, but I just want to warn us that we don't take ourselves back to the complete beginning. Our departure is the draft proposal that we filed and the comments that we received. So we in fact did agree on a model in our first draft. We have, on the basis of the comments we received on that draft, we are now reconsidering certain aspects of the model, but let's not do as if we are starting from the scratch, because that's not the case.
Thank you very much, Rulof. That is right. We are taking off from the comments received. That is what the scorecard is for, and we are not going back to square one, as you said. We are just picking up on the work that's been done with regards to our first draft proposal, considering the comments we received from the community, and from there we will make steps forward, of course. Okay, so reviewing the scorecard, I don't know, Matthias, do you want to comment on the scorecard?
Thanks, Julian, and hello everyone, this is Mathieu speaking. So the goal of this scorecard is precisely, as Rolf said, to check where we are in terms of based on the initial report and the feedback we've got, and see how much work and on which items we need to further investigate. So if you take the first line of this scorecard, and you have score control, so you can probably make it larger to make it more readable. In the mission, commitment, and core values, we have most of the wording and sections of this refinement of the mission, which is supported. There were some comments made on the balancing core values section, which is orange because it's a significant number of comments that we need to consider. And there's still some disagreement on the private sector wording, which needs to be worked out by Work Party 2, because a number of mostly governments raise concern with the wording that is in the current bylaws. And so the rest of the scorecards like this highlights the various issues that we have highlighted during our session, our face-to-face session in Buenos Aires, in order to check what is currently supported and can probably proceed, and the areas for further refinements of the for Work Party 1 and Work Party 2. And if you take the second item, for instance, the fundamental bylaws, the scope and everything seems to be supported, except for some disagreement that is still being had about whether the headquarters in the U.S. should be a fundamental bylaws. And maybe that can be pushed to Workstream 2. That's an option to consider. The IRP got a lot of orange because there's been a number of feedbacks about the selection process, the number of feedbacks about constructive engagement proposals, a number of feedback about the type of arbitration and whether you can go to court to appeal from that, but also a significant number of aspects which only needs some refinements on our side. Same for reconsideration process, overall supported, except a significant point of discussion on the conflict of interest policies for the board members, which was to be considered. So that's all the summary of what we discussed on the Friday in Buenos Aires. On the community powers, well, there's a discussion on the model, but it's only one point among many, because the various powers, as they are, need some refinement for some of them, such as the need to check that the budget strategy veto right does not create endless loops, we need to work out, if we go for board recall, how the caretaker mechanism would work out. I'm moving down to not bore you with all the details, but the AOC reviews are very much supported, and that's a requirement from the CWG to incorporate this. And then the stress test, we got some feedback to add new stress tests and refine, obviously, the stress test. And some of the new items we had identified are SOAC accountability, staff accountability,
diversity enhancements, as well as board the board responsibilities, which is related to the power of individual board removal. So that's a tool to check where we are, considering that we will certainly start with the initial report we have and edit this, and that is designed to track our progress towards public comment 2, which we have to publish by the end of July, and the key discussions we need to have in Paris so that we can then streamline preparation of public comment 2 in time for the end of July. And I think that's all, Ian, for going through this scorecard.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I see Cavus has raised his hand. Cavus, could you please take the floor?
I am speaking as the liaison of ICG. In September 18 and 19, we have to almost finalize our assessment of the three proposals. With respect to the name or naming proposal, we have to ensure that the accountability in that were properly addressed by CCWG. For us, that is the important element in order that our consolidated proposal from three operational community could go to NTIA directly. So, this is important for us. How we could ensure that those accountabilities, five or six areas, are properly addressed without any difficulties. And currently we know that there are some difficulty of that. There was one suggestion that for the budget, which may be a difficult, take it and put it directly in the bylaw, not to associate that with any other problem. So we have to look into the matter. For us, the most important and urgent issue is those issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. Yes, we do agree with that. That is why we're trying to build the lightest and simplest solution that can, of course, satisfy the dependencies with the CWG, and it can fit into the puzzle that the ICT is building as a single proposal. Next on the queue, I have Alan Griffiths. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much. I guess I would like a little bit of clarity, and maybe it's just me that's confused as to what we're trying to accomplish prior to Paris and what are we deferring to Paris. I'm really afraid if you look at all the issues that are not green on the scorecard, we could well run out of time in Paris and come to loggerheads. And I really feel some of these more contentious ones we need to be working on, and I'm not quite sure how they're going to be worked on or when. As I put in my email earlier today, I've seen three teleconferences scheduled, one a week from now and two weeks from now, immediately before we leave. I think that's a somewhat outrageous demand to put on our time, given that we're giving up several days of a week, to also ask us to give up 4 hours of the day before we leave. But regardless of that, I guess I'd like to know what the game plan is going forward and what are we trying to accomplish in the next 2 weeks.
Thank you very much, Alan. Rapporteurs of the different working parties are already working on building the agendas, and of course, scheduling their working party calls. We have, as you clearly said, some issues that need to be considered or discussed before our Paris meeting at the scorecard. Of course, my suggestion would be to begin discussing those issues that are apparently easier to take on, and based on compromise, as we said in Buenos Aires, we set out the different issues that different stakeholder groups and different participants have in mind, so this can guide us into achieving common solutions for those outstanding issues that haven't reached support so far. So I guess that the Working Party rapporteurs will be reaching out to the different participants in the groups, and we of course need to build this Working Party 3, as I said, and well, now we need to begin planning for our meeting in Paris. And this, I see some comments.
Yeah, just for
chat box.
Leon, while I still have I don't have my hand up anymore. Someone took it down. I see in the chat there seems to be someone saying that the meeting on the 14th is rescheduled, not added. That was certainly not clear from the messages that went out, unless some of them didn't get to me.
Okay. Certainly, I think staff will look into the scheduling. And I see Caboose is requesting to listen to everybody. May I please ask who hasn't been able to speak at this meeting? And next on the queue, I have Tijani. Tijani, please, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. Tijani speaking. For the question of Alan, yes, the meeting was rescheduled and not we didn't add a new meeting. If you read the invite very carefully, you will see that the old date was removed and the new date, the old hour was changed to the new hour. That's all. Thank you.
I guess I have to update my calendar program.
Thank you very much. I definitely can't see that update yet in my calendar as well, so I will have to go and review that. And I would ask staff to double-check on the scheduling of the meetings. That is an action item for staff. And kindly inform in detail the group on our next calls before the Paris meeting. Next in the queue, I have Caboose, and I would kindly ask you to explain why you disagree to the way that we are proposing to handle our next calls and meetings. So, Caboose, could you please take the floor?
Yes, Leon, the way I mentioned that you need to kindly listen to everybody doesn't mean that you did not allow us to talk. Talking is something and taking into account proposal is something else. I have talked, but never you took into account what I'm suggesting. I don't agree with this long list of a scorecard. All of these expressions, scorecards, and so on and so forth. What are the priorities, important issues that we need to address first? Forget about this long list. Bring a short list, small list, few items. Which are the most important items that we have to address now? And I don't agree that the chairman of Working Party preparing agenda as pushing us and then does not allow us to speak and cutting or interrupting us in the middle of our talk, as they have done before. You did it in Buenos Aires. I was talking, and Matthew interrupted me impolitely. I don't want that. Please, please provide a short list of the major items that we must address. What are the shortcomings? The shortcoming is this membership issue.
I don't understand why we need to go to the budget and the strategic plan and having a final word on that and going to the binding and enforcement and taking the court. Important issue to address the accountability of the CWD, that we must send the proposal to the NTIA. And what are those 5 or 6 items? Take them and start whether they are addressed and how they could be addressed. Matthew prepared something, this we have agreed, this we have not agreed. This is not important for me, what we have agreed, what we have not agreed. I would like to know what are the bottlenecks, what are the problems. People have considerable difficulty with membership, considerable. So you have to find something. All of a sudden, in Friday, or I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday, Matthew came with some something called hybrid. I don't understand what the hybrid. Hybrid between what? It's a nice word, hybrid. Hybrid of what? The problem is that they don't listen. They don't listen. They don't take into account. Once again, please find out priorities that we have to do. We need to have priority. We need to work on priorities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavus. I believe you have major points, and I remember interrupting someone, yes, in Buenos Aires, and that was because of time constraints. Time is one of our most valuable resources in this group, and we don't want to waste it getting out of focus. So next on the queue, I have Matthew. Matthew, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. Matthew Vey speaking. I would actually ask a couple of questions to Kavus to fully understand where he's going. My understanding is that we have a list of requirements from the CWG, and I think all these items in the scorecard need to be filled if we want to meet these requirements. There is no meeting the CWG requirements without fundamental bylaws. There is no meeting the CWG requirements without an IRP. There is no meeting the CWG requirements without budget powers, without the individual board removal or recall. Those are the CWG requirements. And so my question to you, Kavus, would be, which are the items on this scorecard you think we can drop? My personal view is that we're in front of CWG requirements, community expectations that clearly say we need a consistent accountability framework. We can't just patch this here and there. It has to be consistent. And some of these items you're well advanced in. Some of these you still need some work. And so what I'm struggling to find here is what are the items we need to drop in this scorecard. So that would be my key question, actually. Because I'd love to be able to drop a lot of things and make our work simpler, but so far I'm not seeing this easy.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Kavus, would you like to answer Matthew's question?
Yes, I want to raise the hand, but system does not allow me to raise the hand. My question is, Matthew, to take the reverse actions, going to the CWG, and taking the items of CWG. I give an example, budget. They want to have a word on budget that PTI budget should have the stability and not change it without the approval committee. For that, we put CWG budget issue, which are the areas that we have to do. Then we have to go to the IRP for the function, IANA function of CWG. Then which are the items that are connected to that? Then we have to go to the removal of the board, which are the items. Take that in the reverse direction, but not have all these lists and associate them, provided that you mentioned that all of these are required in CWG. We are not only working on that. So let us say that which are the items of CWG and put that for meeting that item, we need to do these changes. But I don't want to discuss the budget totally. Yeah, totally budget, because CWG does not talk about the total budget. We're talking about the PTI budget. That's all. We could address it independently, ad hoc basis, without going the total budget issues. Total budget is still, I am on the strong opinion that we don't need to go anything more than readjustment. We don't need to go that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose. Your points are well taken and noted. I believe that we have a semantics problem here. And, of course, when we speak about budget, we're talking about the linkage between the CWG work and our work. So I think that we kind of are doing the things that you suggest we do, but we're just not getting clear. We're not being able to communicate the message to some of the participants. So next to the queue, I have Rulof Meyer. Rulof, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. This is Rulof Meyer for the record. I'm sorry, but I do not really understand where Cahoos is trying to get us. And if I look at the chat and if I hear your response, I think we're kind of all suffering from the same problem. So maybe I can make a suggestion. This is taking a lot of time from our call, and I don't think that Cahoos is getting the impression that he's getting anywhere. So maybe the co-chairs could take it offline with Cahoos and have a dialogue and see what his issue is, and then get back to us. Because this way, I think we'll be spending a lot of time just discovering that we're not understanding each other.
Thank you very much, Rulof. Your suggestion is also taken, and we will definitely continue with our next agenda item. I believe that Matthew wanted to explain a couple of points with regards to the scorecard. Matthew, did you want to add to that?
Actually, my suggestion would be, as Rulof said, to add an action item for us co-chair to provide a clearer view of how each of the items in this scorecard relate to the CWG requirements, and provide more substance on this. That would be something that we can do easily. So that, and then we'll share this with you, Cahoos, and see how we can interact on this, and then come back at the next meeting to see if it has helped us focus our work, which I understand is your key expectation is to that we do not waste time on aspects that are not critical to the main timeline, and I think this is a goal that we all have to make sure we keep our focus. And so that's my suggestion, is to have this action item, which I see captured in the notes now, and move to the next items of the agenda meanwhile.
Thank you very much, Matthew. And actually, the next agenda item is for you. So I will hand it to you to take care of agenda item number 4, Emerging Issues, Working Party 3. So, Matthew.
Thank you, Leon. And that's one of the items we concluded we would work on during the Buenos Aires meeting. The key factor behind this was that during the public comment, we did see a number of comments asking us to consider some issues that were not very much developed in our public comment number 1. That's why we call them emerging issues. Those issues include staff and management accountability, SOAC accountability, also called Who Watches the Watchers, enhancements of diversity and board duties, definition, the roles and responsibilities of the board. There is a key aspect of timing behind this, and a key we don't have much time for taking these comments into account, and yet I think we've recognized that those concerns were valid. And so we need a small group to work on what would be our recommendations, and with a clear focus on sorting what needs to be absolutely workstream one versus the rest. And we need to take into account that we have very little time available for workstream one, and we need to also take into account that when proposing new ideas, there might be unintended consequences, so we need to operate under the minimal change principle. So the core essence of this group will certainly be to try and find what needs to be workstream one, and so we are reminded of our definition of workstream one, which is that these are the mechanisms that would provide the community with confidence that any further improvement in accountability could be implemented if it had consensus support from the community, even if there was resistance from ICANN, the organization or management, etc. So that was our definition. So the core goal of this group in a very short amount of time on these issues would be to see whether we need something in Workstream 1 for these issues and whether we put the rest of the core discussions on these issues to Workstream 2, but at least so that we can answer these comments we got from the public comment period. I see Rolf's hand is back up, or is it an old hand? I'm not sure. Rolf?
I'm sorry, Mathieu, that's an old hand.
All right. Cavus sees the opportunity to raise his hand, so please, Cavus.
Yes, Mathieu, I explained to you in several calls this concept of who watches the watcher doesn't work. You will open a Pandora box, you turn around a ring, who watches the others? You want that SO and AC watches the ICANN board, then you want to have another entity to watch SO and AC, and then another entity to watch that entity who watches SO and AC. This will create difficulties, point number one. Point number two, in some SO and AC, in particular in one SAC, there is no mechanism that you watch them. I give you an example of GAC. GAC are representing the government of the country. There is no watch. There is no responsibility. They are responsible to their government. You cannot have a watcher to watch the governments. Maybe in other AC it works, but in GAC it doesn't work. There is no other watch. If you want to take that as an AC, so you cannot take this. I don't know, you took one idea from two or three people and tried to build up around that. This is not priority. Maybe good, but not priority. Who watches the watch? Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I think this is not just picking from a couple of comments. This particular point has been raised from the start by our advisors, and our charter clearly states that our group has a requirement to consider input from the advisors, and that's been in the comments from Jan Art from the start. Willie Carey said that as well. Lee Bygrave raised it as well, and so on and so forth. So I think it's not only one comment, and on the other side, there's more than our report shows in terms of accountability mechanism for ASO and ACs. The ASO and ACs, except the GAC, are subject, according to ICANN bylaws, to regular reviews. That's an existing accountability system. They have their own transparency requirements. They have their own operating rules. And so our goal is certainly not to create an external body that would watch the ASO and ACs, but at least we need to be able to explain how this community mechanism that is based on the ASO and ACs is itself accountable, because the model we're creating is a mutual accountability model, and we need to ensure there's some form of accountability of the ASOACs to the rest of the world. And that's been, I think, more than a few comments. But that's typically the question that we need to ask. What would be a watch room one item on this? Maybe none. I have no idea. I have no preconceived idea, at least. But I think we owe the comments we've received serious consideration on this matter. I see a queue forming, and I have Steve next.
Thank you, Matthew. For items that are put into work stream 2, I think we have to have some idea of how the community can suggest bylaws changes after the transition that are necessary to fulfill a work stream 2 item. That would allow the board to consider and put that bylaws change up for community approval or community veto. But I'm not aware of a mechanism today where the community or even a work party like Work Party 3 or Work Stream 2 could develop bylaws language and force it to be considered for adoption.
Thank you, Steve. I'm not sure if that was a question. I'm not sure I captured it, because there was a lot of distortion on your audio. Any comparison with Darth Vader was totally not mine.
Yes, it was a question to say, do we need to assume the ability for the community to generate a bylaws proposal post-transition, and if so, what mechanism do we need to design to fulfill that? I hope that was clearer.
Thanks, Steve. Yes, so that's your question is whether we need to set up a mechanism for the community itself to generate bylaw changes, which... came up in some of the discussion on the side discussions, but not very strongly in the public comment itself. Cavus, I assume it's in your hands. No? Cavus, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Yes. I understood Steve saying that he has to do all actions required to buy law in the work stream 1. I am not on the same view. Bylaw is something that we could change it according to the second step of accountability, accountability beyond transition. So we don't need to address all modification to the bylaw we require for the greater accountability beyond transition. We do it when it's required. Once again, we have to establish a priorities. We have only 14 days. If you want to have a report going out, and at the first page mentioned, this report does not have consensus, it is not good. Reduce the requirements ambition to the minimum. Do something which has priorities. You don't need to address all changes to bylaws that require for the longer term accountability. We can do that for question 2. Not prevent us to do that. Thank you.
So maybe a quick reminder of the mechanism that's currently being proposed for Workstream 2 is a transitional article of the bylaws that recognizes that further changes of the bylaws will be proposed to address a certain number of issues. So in terms of how if the workstream 2 outcomes are bylaw changes, then certainly our group will be legitimate in proposing them, and then they would move to the board for approval. And then probably if it's fundamental, there would be the prior approval of the community and so on. And so, I mean, we would be in the mechanism we're setting up. That's the current status of our work on regarding Workstream 2. Malcolm, you're next.
Thank you, Mathieu. You said a moment that we are not providing any mechanism to in the Who Watches the Watchers to watch the community. But that's not correct, and I need to correct you on this because it is a major underestimate and misstatement of what we've achieved in the other important work that we've done, the WP2 work. We have set up we've established core values that we believe that the organization should hold to, and we've established an IRP mechanism for people to make complaints that the community, for example, in its own policy development or its own work, has not held to those. Now, ultimately, the community is the ultimate guardian because the community can change those bylaws, can change those values. But changing the bylaws is established as deliberately to be something that is harder to do than regular policy development. And we've got a statement of fundamental bylaws, which is even harder to change than regular bylaws. So this provides an important mechanism by which the watchmen watch themselves with a mechanism to ensure that practice is actually effective. Now, the reason I raise this now, rather than just letting slide your comment, is because I think that we are repeatedly falling into the trap of focusing only on the WP1 work, the community powers mechanisms, and forgetting about the importance of what we've achieved in the WP2 work and the importance of protecting it and making sure it's effective. And in failing to do that, we are, just because it hasn't been a controversial area, because we've managed to achieve it really quite successfully and quite relatively easily compared to the WP1, I understand why that's happening. But unfortunately, it's leading us into error in the discussions that we've been having, for example, around the different models, because we were only looking at the effect of those models on the WP1 and not on the WP2. So please remember, I beg you to remember, the importance of what we've achieved in the WP2 and when describing the work that we've done, and also in deciding how we go about implementing the questions under consideration. That effect on that needs to be brought in mind as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Malcolm. I think you fortunately misunderstood my comment, because I think we're very close to each other here, but it was a good clarification if I wasn't clear enough. So that's the core aspect of this proposed work policy 3 is to actually clarify this and at least get to a point where we can explain what's in place on those matters. And what's going to be worked on in Workstream 2, and if necessary, what needs to be included into Workstream 1. I did circulate a few discussion starters, which I will not go into too much details here, because that was just to collect some of the summaries of the comments we've received, as well as some of the inputs and ideas that had been circulated. The key point for our meeting today is to ensure we launch this group and task the group to come back by basically July the 14th with some proposals that we could consider and discuss in Paris, although that might not be given, that will certainly be the core focus of our work in Paris, but that's an aspect that we need to take into account. So that's a two-week short work group where Leon has volunteered to lead the discussions for this group. and we would obviously welcome volunteers. I noted in the chat Keith and Malcolm volunteering, and thank them for that. I have I know from private discussions that our advisors Jan Art and Willie Curry also agreed. I think Giovanni also sort of mentioned he was willing to do that, but I'm not sure he's on the call. I think Alan, you had also indicated you were willing to be part of this effort.
I did indeed.
So excellent. So I think we have already a core group that makes it achievable. And we will do an action item to circulate a call for volunteers, set up a sub-mailing list, obviously, and we will provide the required support to Leon and the group in order to get to a point where we can have your proposals for discussions in Paris. Any objection to that, or on the terms of reference as described on your screen? No. So we will include the action items and move to the next agenda item. Oh, Alan, you handed.
Yeah, I'm not sure what board duties means.
I think the question behind this was the board's role and responsibility. It's a question that's been raised by some in the comments, also by Larry Stripling in his blog post and address in Buenos Aires, that there was a feeling that there was a need to clarify what was expected from the board and what fiduciary duties referred to in order to avoid some confusions about what the board was expected to do when the board members were elected, and that certainly referred as well to the some of the feedback we had in the comments, which said that while it was agreed that the individual board member removal was legally without cause, some of in the community were asking for clarification about what kind of situation would lead to that. And that's the opposite way of looking at roles and responsibilities, I suppose.
Okay.
So I'm not sure we can do a lot on this, at least in Workstream 1, but I think it's fair to say it's been an issue raised. Malcolm, I understand it's an internal hand. Okay. So with that, we are moving to agenda item number 5, which is a follow-up on the discussion we had on last Wednesday in Buenos Aires on the way to draft the bylaws. So we received a substantial proposal from Bruce Tonkin. Thank you very much, Bruce, which we have sort of refined, taking into account some of the requirements we had heard from Wednesday's session, and also acknowledging that there was not everyone was in full agreement on the way to proceed on that. So we have to find a common ground on this. So the requirements we tried to take on board was that the approvals and decisions at the beginning when kicking off bylaw changes, as well as moving them to public comment, and obviously in the end making sure it's valid, were on the CWG side. That the CCWG required the view of independent counsel on the bylaw changes. That, of course, the ICANN board was bound to ask for ICANN Legal to provide legal advice as well. That's just good governance. and that we would strive for a drafting process that would be, number one, based on clear specifications drawn from our initial report, and number two, collaborative efforts between the various parties involved. So that's the key requirements we try to take on board. For a process that's described on slide number one in text and slide number two in a more graphical way. But basically, the idea behind this is that the specifications are based on the CCWG report and the public commentary we've received, so we need some refinements sometimes. And it's the CCWG that clarifies that it can move forward for bylaw drafting block by block once it's ready. The drafting and refining is by Acton Legal in collaboration with the Independent Legal Counsel, so they will certainly hold the pen in turn or something like this. I think there's existing processes to do that proactively between lawyers. The CCWG subgroups, for instance, Work Party 2 or Work Party 1 in, would review the language to make sure it meets the specs. I understand from the requirement that at some point we would turn to independent counsel to get their formal advice on whether we can proceed with the bylaws. If need be, the CCWG subgroup would revise the text, and then it would be our group as a whole who would decide in case of conflicts of interpretation about which bylaw change we propose to the public comment and to the board and the public comment. So that's what we're suggesting to do, and we would suggest, and then I turn to the queue, to kick this off with one item of our initial report, which is drawing the most support, actually, which is the incorporation of the AOC reviews into the ICANN bylaws. And that would be an excellent candidate to do a proof of concept of this drafting, the bylaw drafting process. I see Greg has raised his hand, so please, Greg.
Thank you, Matthew. Greg Shatton, for the record. I predict that what will end up happening here is something a lot closer to the normal process of drafting legal documents between two parties across the table. But I think that if it doesn't, or to the extent it doesn't, I see some potential issues here. First, the idea that the CCW itself will be drafting actual bylaws language gives me pause. You know, bylaws themselves are legal instruments and should be drafted, first drafts by the lawyers. Frankly, while I'd like to have our counsel take the first crack at it, I'd rather have ICANN Legal take the first crack at it than assume that we, amongst ourselves, with varying backgrounds and the like, can actually draft bylaws per se. The idea of drafting a specification, terms of reference, term sheet, whatever you want to call it, that creates in, you know, roughly plain English or convoluted non-legal English, what it is we intend to accomplish by the bylaws, that's certainly what we should be doing. But when it comes to actually cutting open the patient and starting to operate, let's leave that to those with the skill in the field to do so. Secondly, I think on number three, ICANN Legal in collaboration with independent legal counsel, I think that's a fantasy, not because our counsel and ICANN's counsel are at loggerheads, but because the idea of them sitting in a room together and collaborating and singing Kumbaya would be a first. I mean, I've only been doing this about 28 years, and I've probably only negotiated about 1,500 or so agreements and documents of various types between my clients and the other side's clients, so there's always a first time. But I think in the end, this is going to be more like ping pong rather than a tango. There's not going to be a collaborative dance. There's going to be a back and forth. And I think that with regard to any of these documents, when we're talking about legal documents, we really need to look to our counsel for legal advice about whether they work as we go forward. So, you know, I would not want to see anything coming out of our group and going to the board, for instance, as an item six, without it being, you know, really worked on by our counsel. This is not going to be a, there's not going to be any cost savings or time savings by kind of having the wrong cast of characters doing the right things. Let's follow the right cast of characters. We each have our lane, and we'll be best off if we stick to it in the end. I think that's how we get agreement across the board. Thanks.
So just to make sure, you're right. Point number one, there's no intention, and so if the reading shows otherwise, it must be corrected, that our group drafts the initial bylaw. So the bylaw drafting is legal matters and has to be handled by lawyers. That was clear. And the only exception is where our initial report already has a sort of initial rough bylaw drafting, which has not been reviewed by lawyers so far, and that's the case for the mission and core value, for instance, where this sort of already is an edited version of the existing bylaws. But that's agreed. The second on the drafting, and what I understand you're saying is you would be in favor of independent counsel to draft the initial version of the bylaws. Am I correct?
Yes, I would. I'm in favor of, frankly, that's my first choice. My second choice is having ICANN Legal draft them, because I'd rather it be done by professionals rather than a DIY job. I would not do a first draft and then ask my build a first house and ask my architect to fix it for me. I'm sure that our counsel, whatever ICANN Legal throws at our counsel, they will not be shrinking violets if they disagree with anything on approach, and vice versa. This is how the process works.
Okay, so I think that was the major point of back and forth. Who's holding the pen between ICANN Legal and independent counsel? I see Alan's hand is up.
Thank you. I said this in the last meeting, and I'll say it again. We're looking at budgets, and people are aghast that the costs are so high. It was pointed out by a number of people at the last meeting that these are ICANN's bylaws, and ICANN's attorneys have to sign off on them. We trust our own legal counsel enough to give us opinions. Why do we not trust them enough to look at what is being drafted by ICANN Legal Counsel and identify to us where they think there's a problem? It's not up to the lawyers to fight each other. It's up to the CCWG to tell ICANN Legal and whoever else is involved that we do not believe the bylaws are acceptable and we're not going to approve them. We have ultimate approval on this proposal. And if we're trusting our lawyers, we should be trusting them enough to make sure that the words that ultimately go into our final proposal are good. So I don't see why we need to have our legal counsel at our expense do all of the detailed work. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Craig, you wanted to respond?
I thought I was going to want to respond, but Alan actually said, I agree with what Alan said. I think that we need to we trust our counsel to do the right job and to do it cost-effectively, and we just need to make sure that that we are managing them cost effectively. But, you know, we don't take the quarterback out on the 1 yard line and substitute the other team's quarterback, hoping that they're going to put it across. So, you know, if that isn't what Alan said, you know, sorry, multitasking apparently is at 3 a.m. Not completely my strong suit, but what I will say, regardless of whether it's what Alan said or not, is that we need to let the professionals do the professional job working with us on this until it's done. This is not the time to try to save a few pennies. The money we've already spent, frankly, I think has been well spent. And the money we will spend, hence and with appropriate management of our lawyers and of the process, will still be money well spent. So, you know, this is not the time to cut corners. This is the time to get across the line. We're not going to be doing this again for quite a while. Maybe not ever for some of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Robin?
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, Robin.
Okay, so I think it's really important that we have our own independent counsel do the drafting of the bylaws, and I think it's fine if ICANN Legal wants to make comments on that and review that, like as anyone else can. But I think it's important that our own independent counsel do the actual drafting of this. I find it, otherwise, if ICANN lawyers do the drafting, then I feel like we're just always going to be on the in a reactive mode, and having to argue and convince for why we need certain language changed in those ICANN Legal drafted bylaws. And I think that it really should be the reverse, that it should be our lawyers representing our interests that do the initial drafting. And if ICANN Legal wants to make suggestions, they can convince us that the language needs to be changed to accommodate their views, rather than the other way around and us always having to be reactive and try to get changes into the bylaw that they've drafted. So I think it's really important that our own independent counsel hold the drafting pen on this exercise. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. But isn't the process you're describing also going to apply to ICANN Legal? If one of them holds a drafting pen and the other just goes into opposing all the time and asks, I don't know, just pure assumption, 88 questions on the existing drafting, is that really what we need to be looking at? I'm not sure whether that's because the argument you're giving can work the other way around, cannot?
It could, but the problem is that we're supposed to be in charge of this exercise, and so we're the ones that should be holding the drafting pen. And if somebody else wants to come to us with 88 questions, they can convince us that we need to spend our time and energy in answering those in a certain way. Again, I think it's important just in terms of who's in ultimate control of this exercise, that it be the community, the CCWG, and our lawyers that are holding the drafting pen.
And I would, before turning to Alan, I would like to note Keith Strazik's suggestion from the chat. He's suggesting that the bylaw edits could be divided up between the two legal teams, each taking the first cut at half, and then the exchange can be made. So that's just a suggestion I'm reading out loud for everyone's benefit. And I have Alan next.
Thank you. Since there seems to be some discussion on what I really said and what I meant, I'll try again. And I say it in the context of I've drafted my share of bylaw changes and more than my share of contracts. And on contracts, when you're negotiating as you're drafting, it is always nice to be the pen holder, because then the other one is on the defensive and you have to and has to convince you to change the words that you already put on paper. That's not the mode we're in right here. If we are doing, we, the CCWG, are doing our job properly, we are going to be very clear as to what the bylaws are supposed to be causing to happen. So I don't think the bylaw drafting should be the negotiation phase, as it often is in contract during contract negotiations. And I believe that it is less expensive and more effective to have ICANN do the initial draft and our people look over it with a fine-tooth comb and make sure that it is saying exactly what the CCWG is dictating should happen. I think that's effective, and ultimately we are not negotiating. If our lawyers tell us the contract that something has been slipped into the bylaws which nullifies what we were trying to achieve, they'll say it. And then we will basically say these bylaws are not acceptable. I don't think it's the crafting of the words that's the critical point. It's the concept that we're trying to set right now. I find it completely acceptable to trust our own attorneys to critique what is written and call out if there's any problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next in the queue is Steve. Steve, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you. Before we give anybody's attorney something to draft, we're supposed to get process steps 1 and 2 completed first. That was to take our initial report, CCWG report, and then apply changes that were suggested through public comment. And I would ask the co-chairs, let's describe the steps we're going to take and how we're going to divide that into work teams. The example that Matthew gave earlier was bringing the affirmation of commitments reviews into the bylaws, and that's a section of roughly 11 pages of public comment from many different parties. The good news is that it's not widely divergent. It ought to be easy for us to go through that, but it is going to require that we decide what to do if, let's say, 2 or 3 commenters wanted the reviews to be more frequent than every 5 years, which was the CCWG's proposal. If we're going to get this done before we arrive in Paris, a subset of, say, Work Party 1 has to say, what's our rule going to be if only 1 or 2 commenters made a suggestion? Can we respectfully turn it aside and finalize the specs so that we can move on to drafting of bylaws? Or do we need to keep alive this debate over a point where perhaps a very small minority of public comments disagreed with the CCWG proposal? So it's really a process question, not a substance question, but a process question of how to get steps 1 and 2 in your process completed and divided up amongst the different work parties. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Next is Greg.
Thank you. Greg again. I think the one thing to consider, and I put this in the chat, is whether and to what extent at kind of the level of specification before we get to bylaw drafting, we try to have a dialogue with ICANN Legal and ICANN Legal's client, so to speak. As several have noted, the better you get your term sheet or your terms of reference agreed with the other folks that you're trying to get to yes with, the easier the drafting of the definitive document, whatever it is. If the big points are agreed, there will always be little points to deal with, but trying to kind of come to terms on fundamental terms while you're drafting the definitive document is the slower and more painful way of trying to work out key issues. Key issues are kind of better left to the first level, and then the persnicketiness of drafting so that you meet the key issues that you have agreed to is where lawyers have fun and the clients go and get a beer. And then come back and say, how are you guys doing? If we want to ensure that everybody's in the room and dealing with the bylaws at the same time, we can just leave the fundamental issues that we might have for the bylaws and not for the specifications. But I would advise otherwise. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Malcolm? And then we'll try to find a way forward.
Malcolm.
Thank you, Mathieu. Some of this discussion has proceeded as though there is some clear and crystal bright line divide between the expressive work that we are trying to do as to what we would like to achieve and this other alien world of the legal text that implements it, which is completely in a completely different area that we couldn't possibly engage with in ourselves, and that somehow the lawyers have this magical ability to turn what we are aiming at into their special coded language in a way that there could not possibly be any grounds for legitimate disagreement as to whether or not they have actually managed to transpose what we want into the document that is being produced. I'm afraid I just don't buy it. Yeah, there is just too much deference to lawyers in this. We will need to keep a close eye, whoever has a hand on the pen, a close eye on the output so as to be able to see whether we are satisfied that this delivers on our intent, especially since, frankly, we're not working from a huge degree of consensus in all areas. So whoever has their hand on the pen, we're going to need to look very closely at the output and not be allow ourselves to be pushed into the position of, well, the lawyers have said this is the way that you do it, and therefore that's it, because that's showing far too great a deference to the judgment of the lawyers as to what's an appropriate way to go about things, and indeed to the judgment of the lawyers as to what an appropriate outcome might be. So, I mean, for those reasons, I think it's add considerable weight to the idea of having our own lawyers that are at least trying to reach what they think is what we're trying to achieve, as opposed to ICANN Legal obviously have their own clients' interests and concerns, which may not be in line with what we are trying to achieve. And they have their first duty is to the corporation. So I think for those reasons, as well as for the various optical challenge as to just how it looks, if the outcome of our work, oh, well, it was produced by ICANN's lawyers, and then there's a disagreement later as to whether it properly represents what we were seeking to achieve or effectively delivers on what we were seeking to achieve. So I would argue strongly for having our lawyers having a hand on the pen, and ICANN can, for all the reasons that Robin said, you know, be invited to give every comment that they wish into the process as well, and that would be very welcome.
Thank you. Q is closed, and I still have Cavus and then Greg.
I think we are discussing who will prepare the draft. We discussed that in Buenos Aires. After 20 minutes of discussion, you said that yes, you would take that. That means the ICANN legal department, legal counsel, plus volunteers to start the draft and bring it back to the CCWG. What we are discussing now?
I'm sorry, Cavus. My recollection of this discussion in Buenos Aires was that there was to be a proposal, written proposal on the table before we can discuss this further, and that's what we're doing. And
but
I hope we can
propose
the discussion.
Yeah, but written proposal, we mentioned that this written proposal is based on something that we know we can draft, but not something that still we have not yet decided. If you have the area that we could start the drafting, legal unit of the ICANN plus legal advisor or counsel plus few other people, they could get together and they prepare a draft and bring it to CCWG. That is what I understand.
I'm not seeing a lot of difference with what we're suggesting. And there's going to be an involvement on the CCWG subgroups, but what we're drafting, and I think it's been said very clearly, and it's important that the clarity on the specifications of what has to be drafted and the goals that are pursued is really what matters in this process, probably more than who's holding the pen. And we need to set our incentives right to make sure
our group focuses on that very clearly. Greg, you're last.
Thank you, Matthew. I wish I had something appropriately final to say, but I just wanted to respond briefly to Malcolm and say that's not at all what I was actually suggesting, was that we were somehow, or that lawyers are somehow magicians who should need to work in cloistered separation from their clients. Quite the opposite. It needs to be a collaborative process between the client and the lawyer so that the everyone gets to where they're going. So in essence, everyone gets to play, just get to play the right part at the right time. So it's not, there's no idea that the lawyers are going to, go away. The remark about having a beer was an exaggeration, but there are some times when lawyers do need to kind of discuss nuances of language for purposes of fitness, for purpose and clarity, disambiguation and the like, not for elegance. It would be nice if we have something elegant, especially since the bylaws will be out there in public. But I, in that sense, I trust the quality of our lawyers, and frankly, I trust the quality of ICANN's lawyers to get this right, because we are trying to get to yes. I think we're all well represented here, and the big point here is to get this process off the ground, because once we get into it, we'll actually probably be quite amused at some of the things that we argued about. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And that fits very well into what would be my proposed way forward. What I take from this discussion is, number one, we need to be very clear on the specifications, and that's the key success factor of the bylaw drafting. If we want to avoid any discussion about whether the bylaws are well-written or not well-written, it's about us managing to provide clear specifications of what has to be incorporated in the bylaws. There is obviously an amount of discussion about which lawyers should hold the pen, but I think what you've just said, Greg, is important. We need to take this off the ground. So my suggestion would be that we take the section of our report about the AOC reviews, which is very well advanced in terms of clarity of the specifications. I don't think we have much to add to these specifications to enable them to be passed on to lawyers. So that would be our proof of concept would be on this. And I would test the system by asking ICANN Legal to hold the pen on these ones once we have the specifications approved. And based on this experience, it would be probably easier to see whether this system with ICANN Legal holding the pen works out or not. And I think that also creates the right incentive for our group to make sure we're extremely clear about our specifications to avoid any potential problems after that. So I think by kicking off the process off the ground with this approach for this particular item and making a more final decision on who's going to hold the pen later, we would have actually a first data point that would help us make this call maybe with more peace in mind after that. So that's the way I'm proposing we move forward with this particular AOC review block of the report, and really encouraging everyone to make their best to really make this work smoothly, because as was reminded in the chat, it's been made clear that the bylaws, the workstream one related bylaws, need to be incorporated and need to be approved by the board before congressional approval. That's part of the certification process from NTIA. So this is very much on the critical path, so we need to make that work. So Jordan Carter is the rapporteur for Work Party 1. He handled the AOC reviews in corporations. And so he will be tasked to come back with clear specifications to our group. And then we'll hand over to bylaw drafting to the lawyers. And maybe we'll end up exchanging pens at some point, whatever, but for this one, let's move like this so that we can get this thought started and off the ground. And with that, I will... So the action item is for Work Party 1 to come back with the specs on this group, on this part, ideally by next week, and then we'll hand over at this point. And with that, I will now turn to Leon for any other business. I think, Leon, you had at least one item you wanted to share.
Thank you, Matthew. Yes, that is right. And that is with regards to our reply to the NTIA letter by Larry Strickling, which we received on May the 6th. We have drafted an answer for a reply letter. And I don't know, staff, if you have it available. It would be great if we could display it in the room. So basically, what this letter says is that we are expecting to conclude our second draft by the end of July, open it for public comment, and having this second public comment period closed by the end of September, so we can incorporate the different comments received in the second public comment period, and then have it sent for the chartering organizations for them to review and hopefully vote and approve by our meeting in Dublin. And of course, we are also talking about some implementation issues and the way we would be moving forward and the expected timeline that we can foresee at this stage. And we would be asking or suggesting to the NTIA to extend the IANA functions contract to at least September 2016. Based on the assessment that we have done. And of course, we are also stressing that this assessment is based on a best case scenario. And of course, this could change if, for example, we find out that after the second public comment period, we don't have a final proposal. This would, of course, alter the timeline. So at this point, I would like to call for any questions that we send this letter that you have in your screen as a reply to Larry Strickling and the NTIA, of course, with regards to the letter we received on May the 6th, in which they ask for feedback as to which would be a timeline, an expected timeline, and of course a suggestion on extension for the IANA contract for in order for the transition to finalize and take place. Okay, so I see Cavus hand is up. Cavus?
John, I don't think that CCWG should advise NTIA to extend the contract for 1 year or any time. We just should mention that where our plan is ready and leave it to them or to NTIA, but not
take this as a responsibility that CCWG asks the extension of 1 year or more, or at least 1 year. This is a very critical issue. We just say when we are ready. That's all. Leave it to them to decide 1 year plus 1 year and not that far. We should avoid to get into something which is not our duty. Our duty is not to talk about the durations of the extension. We should say that where we are ready and leave it to them to decide. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this point you're making, Kapus. And this seems like a fair suggestion. So we will be amending this. Draft letter. So we provide the timeline for us to achieve the different goals that we need to meet with our work. And then we'll leave it up to the NTIA to decide whether they extend the contract to a certain date or not. Any other comments with regards to the letter? Okay, I see no other comments. Greg? Do you have a hand up?
Yes, I'm not sure, exactly whether if this letter is, considered good to go. I just think there may be a couple of things. The second paragraph is one long runoff sentence. I think it got some just clarity problems. And the second to the bottom paragraph, if congressional review is passed, is just kind of the wrong usage. I don't often describe congressional activities. Maybe somebody in our group who does that more often can substitute kind of clearer language. That said, I don't want to sit here and wordsmith the thing to death. It just seems to maybe need a little bit of fine-tuning. I think overall the message is appropriate, though. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. Yes, you're right. I think we can call for a hand here, not only for a native speaker, but also for someone who does know congressional processes. So I would like to maybe Steve Del Bianco to help us with fine-tuning and wordsmithing the final version for this. So, yes, as Matthew points out, a native Washington Congress speaker. So, Steve, I see that you are agreeing for this, and we'll, of course, send you the draft that we have so far, so you can help us wordsmith the final version for us to send it to the NTIA. And I believe that Matthew has another issue in any other business. So, Matthew, would you like to raise it?
Yes, thank you, Leon. Matthew Vey speaking. This is related to the discussion that we started quite late, actually, on the ongoing public comment period regarding the next HERT and structural reviews that ICANN is planning. You may have noticed we were informed about this public comment by an email circulated last week on the list by Alice, and I suggested some very blunt ways of answering this, and that triggered a debate within our group. So the suggestion I was about to make in this AOB would be maybe one thing we can do, because the deadline is July the 2nd for this public comment, would be to capture these exchanges we've had on the list and sort of recap them as a contribution to the public comment, showing that there are diverse views within our group about how to proceed with the upcoming reviews and structural within ICANN in light of our upcoming recommendations. So that's that would be the suggestions that I would make, that if the group agrees, we would sort of pass on the exchange of email to this group so that they can benefit from this exchange of views while asserting their next steps. So if there's no objection to that, I will happily take the action item to do just a cover letter and then send the exchange of emails to the organizers of this public comment.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I see no objections, so I guess you're good to go. Okay, so are there any other business that wants to raise at this point? Keith, I see your hand up. Keith, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you, Leon. Hope you can hear me. I typed this in the chat earlier, but I'm curious if we have a plan in place for reviewing and assessing and responding to the questions posed by the board just before the Buenos Aires session. And I apologize if I missed the discussion on this, but I think we need to develop a plan for considering and responding to those questions, or at least incorporating them into our follow-on work. So any further detail on that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keith, and I believe Mathieu has the answer for that. So, Mathieu.
Yes, Keith, thank you. We did not formally assess how we would respond and how we would treat this. However, I would note that, number one, many of these questions are already taken on board while we discuss the model, and those questions have been transferred to certainly part of the package of things that the external independent counsel can rely on to test the various models. And I suspect many of these questions were related to that. It was suggested informally that maybe it could be useful that if FAM, as CCWG staff liaison, could maybe start looking at these questions and, based on her understanding of the CCWG model at this point, point out the most relevant ones to our work, plus maybe try a first step of answering the question. And that would certainly be helpful for Work Party 1 and Work Party 2 to proceed. I would be, however, reluctant to go into an extensive review of the questions because I think, as Cavus was saying, we need to be very focused right now, and I would avoid getting into too much of a systematic approach. And probably if some of these questions remain after our public comment number 2, then we can certainly dive deeper. That would be my proposed approach.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I hope that answers your question, Keith. And I see you're answering on the chat box. Okay. So, are there any other business anybody wants to raise at this point? Okay, having no other business to raise, I don't know, Mathieu, if you want to do a couple of final remarks on our call today?
Well, what I can say is that we are aware of the amount of work that's ahead of us and the very limited time we have available to make the Paris meeting successful. We really want to stay focused on priorities. Unfortunately, we have a significant amount of requirements. I'm glad we didn't spend time on the model this time and worked on organizing the rest of the work, because I think there's other parts of our proposals which are very important, and the model itself is a way to implement some of the requirements. And I think it's also showing that there's a lot we have in common. I'm also glad we can initiate the bylaws drafting processes, at least test it, because our timeline for that is also very, very short. And I would like to say very clearly that we are not putting anything under the carpet. There's going to be a number of good discussions we need to have in Paris. Our goal as co-chairs right now is to make sure these discussions take place on the basis of informed papers that we all have read, and so that we can make those discussions in a reasonably informed manner for our group to proceed. So that's, to us, very, very important. I see Cavus and Tijani raise their hands. Cavus?
No, that was all time, sorry.
All right. Thank you, Cavus. Tijani?
Thank you very much, Mathieu. Tijani speaking. While I understand very well the importance of those issues on the scorecard, etc., to be discussed and to be perhaps cleared very, very soon, I don't see how we can say that we don't have to focus on the model, because we have now a new proposal of a model, but without the details. And it, as I said in Buenos Aires, it is apparently acceptable, but need details, because everything is in the details at the end. So at least we need the legal advisor to come up with something very clear, very detailed of this model, so that we can discuss it clearly and accept it, or perhaps modify it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I think you made the point much better than I did. But that was my intent. We need to have this discussion, but based on very clear information. It's an important discussion that we will need to have. And I think with that, we can close this meeting. 10 minutes extra sleep for some of you. I don't think it's going to make much difference, but still, it's valuable. And thank you very much for the constructive exchanges all across this meeting, and we look forward to talking to you next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. And thanks, Leon, for chairing this call while on vacation and at night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you very much, everyone. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.